Morning, this is Digital Dave broadcasting from the porch with Magneto Mel. Good to see you again, Mel.
Great to be back, finally awakened in the living world.
Yeah, I understand that feeling. I was here way too late last night. And we're joined by Mr. Don Brown. Sorry, I can't read sideways. Who made a very, very good point that he is retired from the Atlanta Center.
Glad of it.
Just in time, huh? So how are you this morning, Mr. Brown?
I am excellent. Glad to be back at Oshkosh, and I'm glad for the cool weather.
Well, this segment is part of an ongoing that we're going to be bringing all week about air traffic communications.
Cool.
So Don's our first guinea pig of the day here. I think we're going with push to talk, right?
Sounds good to me.
So this is our push to talk hour, and if anybody wants to call in after we do some chatting here with Don, and perhaps some of the other air traffic control representatives, then we'll open it up for call-in. So if people want to get ready for that.
Oh, exciting stuff.
Then we'll be able to talk to everybody.
So, push to talk. What are your most common communication errors?
Oh, goodness gracious. We could go on for this for about hours. The thing that I've always emphasized is standard phraseology. It goes much further than that as far as actually knowing when to push the talk and actually pushing the talk before you actually start talking. So it's a lot of technique, a lot of phraseology. The thing we need more than anything these days is for people to be concise. But in being concise, you have to convey the exact meaning, hence phraseology. And I was just making the point with the guys when I was coming over. It's odd to learn to talk again. Nobody signs up with an instructor to learn how to talk on the radio. They want to learn to fly the airplane, which is semi-important.
Yeah.
But it really is a different language, and it has to be taught. And you cannot come up with better phraseology than what's in the book on your own. That's where the phraseology came up with, is just people making errors over and over again, and we finally learned better. And that's what the book represents, is the knowledge base of, you know, 50 years worth of talking on radios.
Well, now, one of the things that I actually dabble in this aspect of aviation, the communications portion of it, and I deal with a lot of foreign pilots speaking English in
right.
U.S. airspace, and there are a couple of things that come with that. Number one, as you stated, it is a different language. It's not just English. It's aviation English. It's English for a specific purpose. We have a lot of people that learn aviation English for the purpose of communications from a foreign country, and they have a certain set of vocabulary, and then our native English speakers get up there
and
unstandardize all over the place. And the other angle of the problem is we've got the FAA phraseology that we've been using here, and then we've got some ICAO differences, and you start to get up there in the QNE, the QNH, you know, and decimal this instead of point that, and, you know, do you find from working at the center, did that present any problems between the pilots as well as between the controllers and the pilots?
Especially over here in America, we are so used to working with American pilots that controllers, you know, people think I fuss at pilots. You ought to see me fuss at controllers. Controllers get into the same bad habits that pilots do. We think that we're talking to Americans and they can understand conversational English. And then all of a sudden, we will have a foreign air carrier show up, and we're stuck in the habit of conversational English, and it doesn't work. I wrote about one of these things in a column with AbWeb one time, that a guy, a foreign air carrier, just asked for a ride report. He wanted to know what the ride was like at flight level 350. Well, the controller went and got him a couple of ride reports, and then gave him a four-minute dissertation on what the ride was like. Well, this guy obviously had a heavy accent, the pilot did, and after this long-winded conversation, you could tell just by the pilot's response, he had no idea what this controller had said, because he said, it's a little bumpy over here, and it's a little bumpy over there, and the Southwest out there says he's getting a pretty good ride. And all this guy wanted to hear was, it's light chop,
right.
or it's smooth. At flight level 350. So that's just one instance of how it works. But, yes, it is a problem.
Yeah, I heard a very, very interesting aviation conversation over the frequency between a British pilot and a Brooklyn controller.
Wow.
And we're all speaking English here, but there was no connection for quite some time. And they realized that, too. They had to say, I know we're speaking the same language, but
I don't understand
a word you're saying.
I've seen a few of those.
So you're also saying that the same people that ramble on voicemail messages ramble on the radio.
It can happen. And, again, controllers always believe that they know how much time that they got to wait on the frequency. Now, the pilot, they really have no way of knowing. They think it might sound slow. But I just had an instance I remember very vividly where I was jawing on the frequency, and right in the middle of it, the guy had an emergency. That's bad news when you're a controller and you got the frequency tied up, and the point behind it is you never know. And the frequency is for fast, simple communications, and it's not for anything else. So, you know, we all learn from experience and whatnot, but just some of us seem to be learning faster than others.
Go ahead.
Do you find that you have a lot of pilots that are afraid of the radio?
Yes.
That just don't want to have to pick that thing up and talk?
Very much. And it's
intimidating.
It's for everyone.
I don't know. I don't find it intimidating.
No, when you're a student pilot, you know, and as people come on, especially with a center, I imagine, when there's so much when there's so much else going on in the airspace.
We get this a lot, and it's, again, back to the real point of all this. The purpose of learning standard phraseology and be confident you know that you're doing it right. What you get when a student pilot flying with a tower, first time he goes on across country, he's away from the guys he knows and the guys he knows how to talk to.
Right.
And they're very, very nervous when they go out and talk to the first strange controller, if you will, because they're not sure they know how to talk to them. But if you've been doing it straight by the book, if somebody's actually taking the time to teach you how to talk on the radio, it really eases the transition. But even controllers, out at the academy, we have a term for it. It's called mic fright.
Well, and
first time you put a controller, put a headset on them, and I mean, they actually, some of them freeze up. They're just not used to it.
I'm sorry, I didn't mean to interrupt
you.
It's okay. I think one of the important things is for student pilots and other people as well, other pilots, if you didn't understand, don't pretend.
Right.
And that's what I think a lot of people do, is they're afraid to reveal themselves.
Yes.
Right. Well, it goes for us too. It goes for the women pilots. You're afraid to reveal to the rest of the airspace that you didn't catch that on the first pass.
Yeah, you don't have a clue.
and that say again, that is the etiquette. That is what you are supposed to do. And I think you made a very, very good point. If you stick to the standard phraseology, if you stick to the etiquette, the proper technique, then this stuff does work. It's when, you know, people pretend that they don't.
Just to give you a retired story, I was helping this guy out, and he's got a group of folks, and they're having to use walkie-talkies. It's the same thing, talking on the radio. And you can't imagine the difficulty these people are having talking on a walkie-talkie simply because they're trying to have conversational English on a walkie-talkie. I mean, they're all grown, intelligent people. They know what's going on, but they can't communicate using these walkie-talkies because they can't understand each other.
Yep.
It's just different when you're talking on a radio. It can't be conversational.
Well, first of all, you're having a dual monologue. You're not having a dialogue.
Right.
And second of all, you've got, in radio frequencies, you got a different tone coming through because you've got some highs and lows filtered down to this, and you don't have any visual cues. You're not seeing lips move. You're not seeing facial expressions, and it's a different communication.
If you're like controllers who talk with your hands, you're right. There's a lot of information that's conveyed.
I do a little of that.
By people waving around with their hands all the time, and you just don't have it with a radio. That's the reason it needs to be precise, concise phraseology.
Well, would you say that a good idea for the average student pilot when he comes on to center would be to say, "I am a student pilot," so that you guys might slow up?
There's actually
some.
There's actually something in the AIM that says you can identify yourself as a student pilot. It is standard phraseology. The Atlanta Center, Cessna 12345, level 5000, student pilot. And it's actually in the AIM. And yes, I would highly encourage that. And for individuals that really feel uncomfortable on the radio, even after they've got their private ticket, even after they got their IFR ticket, if they're working on their commercial ticket, they can still be a student pilot, as far as I'm concerned.
Yeah, we're all learning. At least we should be. Mm-hmm. So, well, we're going to go ahead and take a quick break now, and then we'll be right back with Don Brown and talk more about safety and communications.
You're listening to EAA Radio.